The second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 32nd verse. Listen for God's word to us today. Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of the Lord. Did you have breakfast today? All right, let's see who wants to share. What did you have? Just shout it out.
Just coffee.
I heard eggs, cereal.
Pineapple.
That's great. Let's pray to you. Holy Spirit, come down and be among us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, most greetings when you see someone essentially ask your well-being. How are you? How are you? In French, comment vas-tu? In Chinese, Mandarin, ni hao ma? It's asking your well-being. However, there is a more intimate greeting in Chinese, more for family and friends, less formal, dare I say more intimate. One is frequently asked not how are you, but have you eaten? Chi fan le ma? Literally, have you eaten rice? Because the word for food and rice are synonymous. It would be like saying, have you had bread? Bread. It's a common image in our society. We probably each have our own favorite bread. You might be able to remember bread when you were growing up. Remember any of the commercials for bread? Growing up in San Francisco, I remember, grow, grow, grow with Lang, Lang, Langendorf bread. I found out Langendorf, which was started in San Francisco, actually had their bakery in San Jose. As a child of the 60s, I do remember saying, "I ain't got no bread, man." We still use euphemisms like the breadwinner. Now, if you couple that with the one who brings home the bacon, now you got a BLT almost, right? We care about those who go without, and so we have organizations like Bread for the World, and they do great work, by the way. Bread is frequently found in Scripture, as you well know, since leavened bread requires both yeast and time, and is the tastier. Yet the urgency of the Exodus from Egypt is symbolized in unleavened bread. We don't have time. We gotta go. Take the unleavened bread. Those Exodus people, lost and hungry in the wilderness, were fed with manna from heaven, described as like a fine bread. In the New Testament, Jesus is tempted when hungry to turn stones into bread. Bread is essential to the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. We are taught to pray for our daily bread. And at the Last Supper, Jesus uses bread, that most familiar and common of elements, as a symbol of his body and his life. Consistent with that biblical image, in today's lesson from John, Jesus proclaims he is the bread of life, sustenance from which the one who eats will never be hungry. Bread is a rich and powerful symbol, metaphor, sign, image. The poet Denise Levertov, in Stepping Westward, speaks of the polarities of a woman's experience: to be constant, but also to move with life's seasons. She writes, "If I bear burdens, they begin to be remembered as gifts, goods, a basket of bread that hurts my shoulders, but encloses me in fragrance. I can eat as I go." Encloses me in fragrance. I love that image. Some of you might remember the bread that mama or grandma used to bake. After mixing and kneading, time to rest and rise, that tart smell of yeast and the warmth of the oven, the aroma would fill the house. You couldn't wait to get a warm slice and spread it with butter and maybe, if you were lucky, a jam or marmalade. Now, if I were a more prepared preacher, I would have had a bread machine going right about now. However, I have a problem. I don't have a memory of bread. My mama didn't bake bread. I'm not sure my grandma did either. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I love a good baguette with butter, or a crusty ciabatta with some cheese and a glass of Pinot Noir. And you have not lived till you've had New York pastrami, not too lean, on rye with mustard. Oh, I could die. One of my earliest memories of bread was as a kid growing up in my immigrant family that only learned about hamburgers when they arrived in the States. One day my mom asked my brother and me what we wanted to eat, and we said, "Hamburger." And my mom thought, "Okay, fried beef patty, what's so hard about that? Okay, I'll make you hamburgers." And I thought, "Wait a minute, we don't have any hamburger buns at home." So my mom fried up a couple of beef patties and put them between two slices of Wonder Bread. Do you ever have a fried patty between Wonder Bread? That thing becomes like a paper towel. It is wet and soggy, and if that burger is medium rare, you get a little blood juice coming out of it, then it turns pink. Yeah, so bread, it's okay, but it elicits memories that are more funny than fond. Bread doesn't quite fill me, nor does it necessarily remind me of life. Now, rice, that is a different story. In 1979, I was on a train from Shanghai to Beijing. 1979. You got to know a little history here. This is China, not like it is today. 1979 was just a year after China had opened up to the West. This is post Richard Nixon going to China. When we went, there were no cars. Everybody was still riding bicycles. Everybody was still wearing Mao uniforms or suits. There were no skyscrapers. My parents hadn't been back in 30 years. And the minute it opened, they jumped at the opportunity. So we're on this old train, clickety-clack, clickety-clack. The day is warm and humid. You can smell the air. And the fields. The fields. There was this long stretch, and the fields were luscious and green, and you could smell the grass and the grain. It was heavy, like it had just rained, and you can smell it. Green fields as far as the eye could see. And I asked my father, "What is that?" And he smiled that smile, you know, when a child asks you something that you've known all your life, and the kid who thinks he knows everything doesn't know this. And he smiled and he said, "Rice. That's rice." And in a strange way, I felt like I was back home. 2 days of planes and trains and automobiles to finally arrive at the village of my aunt. And after greetings and introductions, my aunt, whom I had never met, turns to me and says, "Have you eaten?" It is rice that touches my soul. I grew up with it. I get full when I have rice. When I'm traveling and away from home, it's always rice that I miss. I am convinced that if Jesus was not from Asia Minor, but was from Asia Major, who knows, instead of bread, what he might have chosen to symbolize rice. A poem by Kim Ha, a Korean Christian activist, says this: "Heaven is rice. As we cannot go to heaven alone, we should share with one another. As we all share the light of the heavenly stars, we should share and eat rice together. Heaven is rice. When we eat and swallow rice, heaven dwells in our body. Rice is heaven. Yes, rice is something we should eat together." The poem echoes the words of Isaiah. "Is not this the fast that I choose? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry?" The image of Jesus as the bread of life that feeds our hunger reveals at least two things: that we do indeed hunger, and that there is a hunger that can only be satisfied by the divine presence. In my work with churches around worship and programs and activities, I'm always curious in finding out where and when do people meet the divine, the presence of Jesus or God, or a sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, as churches, we spend a fair amount of time thinking about programs and planning and strategies. We look at numbers and stats and try to measure what we do. But it is hard, perhaps impossible, to measure experiences of the divine presence. When you or I feel, sense, or experience God in our midst. And yet, if we don't have that experience, if we don't have that experience of the divine, at least at some point in our life, what brings us to church? And I think if we have an experience, we keep coming back because we want to feel that again. At least that's why I keep coming back. We don't know how or when or even where it happens. It's not always at church. It's around a campfire or over a cup of coffee, a living room, or a hospital room. It may be during a prayer or in silence. It could be in church or in nature. It frequently happens during music, a song or a hymn or a particular piece of music. It's seldom in a sermon, I'm sure. I once was at Riverside Church in New York City and heard this soloist. And suddenly, it just felt different. It felt like the presence of the divine was in the room. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. I don't even remember the song. But I keep looking for that experience. For me, it also happens around the table of our Lord, where bread is broken, and I am reminded of the broken body of Christ and my own brokenness. I am also reminded of the presence of that communion of saints that are gathered, my parents, my mentors, those who led me in the faith, colleagues and friends are all present at this table. On this day, Christians around the world are gathered around this table. At this table, past and present, at this table of cultures and traditions, a variety of breads and grains and memories and foods that feed our souls and remind us of the real presence of Christ, our friend and our Redeemer. At this table, we are all fed. Life is hard at times, difficult. There are burdens to be borne and struggles to endure. And we all need sustenance for the journey. So come, be fed by the bread and the rice of life. Bread from heaven that gives life to the world. So, have you eaten?